Welcome to What in the Smut podcast,
where the books are horny and so are we. I'm Elle.
And I'm Kay. So what do we got going on in the Smutverse this week?
It seems the internet is caught in the corporate loop of let's circle back on this in the new year, since the only real drama to be had was reruns of drama as old as time. First up, the age-old question, is listening to audiobooks actually reading? Yes. Obviously, yes. What are we even doing? What is this debacle of a debate? How ableist do you have to be? Like, I just, yes, it's reading. Fuck off.
I think of it in terms of this. Like, if you say, I'm reading to my kids, are they not reading a book because they're not?
Because you're reading it out loud to them? Yeah.
Yes. I hate this so much.
Literally, someone said, I saw a comment that was like, tell me your parents never read to you without telling me your parents never read to you.
And which I also feel like, yeah, that's part of the problem, is that the people whose parents read to them growing up all the time are the people that still can't get enough books.
Yeah.
And those are the people that are on board with audiobooks because it's another way to get books.
Yes, another way to consume, like, your favorite thing. I just... another good comment was, your ancestors did not pass down all of human stories through oral history for you to say that audiobooks aren't real stories.
Excellent point.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent point. Yeah.
Next up, are indie books worse than traditionally published books? This one was especially tired and ironic, given that there are rumblings that Brimstone, Kelly Hart's highly anticipated sequel to Quicksilver, that was traditionally published by Hachette a few weeks ago, released with a ton of errors and incorrect perspective switches. Obviously, mistakes happen. And I haven't personally read Brimstone, and thus I have no opinion on how bad it actually is. But let's all just agree that indie and trad both have hits, they have misses, and one is significantly more gatekept than the other.
100%. No notes.
Finally, someone decided to remix another classic by exclaiming how annoyed they are with the idea that capital R romance has to have a happily ever after. And of course, that went over about as well as you'd expect. Sorry, not sorry, listeners, but the romance genre is literally defined by the happily ever after. That's the contract the author has with the reader when they market their book as a romance. It means, I know it looks messy and tangled up right now, but just watch how I make sure it all works out in the end.
This is interesting because this is the way of Hollywood, too. Just in general, I studied abroad in London and I took a film class while I was there. And the professor was this like 75-year-old man who just was obsessed with film. And he had said, like, the difference between films that are created in Europe and films that are created in the U.S. is that everything needs to be tied up in a nice, neat bow at the end of a U.S. film. Like, Hollywood has that way as well.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible thing to identify when you start to see some movies that are created not in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And you can see the major difference in how, like, it's kind of all the same thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's very fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Like, this debate is, like, one of those that's as old as time because, like, I feel like especially with the rise of romanticity, which is kind of blurring the lines between what is romance, like, capital R romance, and what is a romantic fantasy.
Yeah.
Which I would consider, like, a fantasy novel that has a romantic subplot, which does not necessarily guarantee a happily ever after. I think that the lines have become more blurred, but to call it romance, it's got to have a happily ever after, or at least a happily for now. Like, there's just, there's no getting around that. That is the defining feature of the genre. And that's, like, part of the reason why it got so big is because you have, like, this entire collection of stories that are like, we're not here to stress you out. It's going to be hard in the middle. You're going to be stressed out in the middle, but you can get through the story with the comfort of knowing that it's going to wrap up at the end and it's all going to be okay.
100%. And I mean, if you think about how many romance readers are also, especially now, coming out as neurodivergent or getting diagnosed as neurodivergent later in their lives, that predictability is something that is huge.
Yes.
So you want to pick up a book that you know that the tropes and like that predictability piece of things with the romance genre as a whole definitely is what keeps people coming back.
I could not agree more.
But also, here we are in our neurodivergent little lives over here. So.
And this week's read was no exception. And I was delighted to discover just how messy and tangled up this trio got for their happily ever after. Okay.
So this week we read Tinsel and Tentacles by Kate McDarris. And the synopsis says all they want for Christmas is tentacles. The manager. Marcy Collins has been crushing on her hot rock star boss and his equally hot bodyguard for years. Now they're all in New York City for Christmas, and she has only one wish. It's just the chance she's been waiting for, but making a move might cost her everything and everyone she loves, the bodyguard. It's Ryder's job to put his body between danger and his rock star client. But after years on guard duty, he's desperate to put his body on top of him and his delicious manager. Always prepared for every situation, is he ready to take the ultimate risk to fulfill his deepest desires? The rock star. World-famous rock star Barney Miles needs a miracle. All he wants for Christmas are his manager and bodyguard underneath the mistletoe. But he's hiding a secret that could ruin his chances with them for good. Little does he realize Marcy and Ryder know more than he thinks, and they have a plan to make all of their holiday fantasies come true. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Great synopsis.
Absolutely fantastic.
So this does
have... Sets the stage.
Yeah, this does have three different point of views, which is fantastic. It was well done in that way, too, I think.
Yes. Yeah, I think they did a pretty good job with it.
So where would you put this one on our spot scale?
I mean, I think we have to go with level five. There are tentacles in every single orifice. It's an icky, sticky tangle of tentacles, quite literally.
It is an icky, sticky tangle of tentacles.
Yes. And the problem is that it is very well described. There was never a point where I was questioning the logistics of it because... like every single move made perfect sense.
Yes.
So it's probably a level three because there are three participants. One of them is not human, and there's a lot of double penetration for multiple parties, for all of the parties. So I do think that the sex is surprisingly straightforward for how many tentacles there are.
I agree.
But it feels like it should, in principle, be an icky, sticky tangle of tentacles.
I mean...
No, you're not going to give me this one.
It wasn't so icky. No, I'm not going to give you this one because there was plot.
That's
the biggest part of it. If it was just like tentacle fucking, I would be fine with it. But it was because it had that sweetness and because it was a plot, like an actual plot line.
There was an actual story.
We have to
story.
Go with the three.
I think you're right. You're right.
I'm sorry for that.
You should be.
Now, did we get a list? Did we get a grocery list for this one? For
I mean,
triggers?
At the beginning, there is the before you read. What you are about to read is an erotic fantasy romance intended exclusively for 18 plus audiences. It contains explicit language and adult situations, as well as graphic depictions of consensual sex with three adults, six arms, eight tentacles, four legs, three anal cavities, and no partridge in a pear tree. That would have made things awkward.
I love it. So
yes.
Good.
And I don't think there's anything...
There's a little bit of restraint.
Yeah, they do kind of hold Marcy down at one point.
Yeah.
Very straightforward. There is bathtub sex.
I mean,
having sex in water. So
double penetration.
Double penetration and tentacles. There are lots and lots of tentacles.
Yes. Yep.
But otherwise.
Pretty straightforward and relatively sweet for what it is.
Very sweet for what it is. For male, female, tentacle erotica novel. It is so sweet.
Yes, it was. So I would say reviewers kind of agree. There was a 3.9 on Amazon, 3.7 on Goodreads. So pretty good ratings for this one. A 5-star rating says, tinsel, tentacles, and love all around. I was in a mini book slump, and this book was just what I needed. It was the sweetest little tentacle-filled holiday novella. Holiday-themed monster romance? Check. Forced proximity shenanigans? Of course. A rock star, his manager, and the bodyguard with Christmas wishes for love all around? My normally Grinch-sized heart just eats this up. I love this book. It was a perfect piece of holiday-lit candy. Short, sweet, feel-good, and spicy. Now off to find the next novella, Diamonds and Tentacles.
Indeed, there is a sequel.
Yes. Which I might be on board for.
I might have to read it.
A 4-star from Amazon says, but why are there tentacles? What the heck did I just read? There were tentacles, so many tentacles, 8 to be exact, but we never got to know why Barney had the qualities of an octopus, and that's my biggest complaint with this book.
Frankly, I respect it.
You like to know the origins, so.
I do. I really, really do. And I feel like that was the only subversion that Kate McDare has perpetrated was I was kind of like expecting, because he was like, I have this secret, you know, for us to get like this big reveal as to like why. And she was just like,
yeah,
nah.
We know. We know you got a secret. Let's do it.
That's it. Not only does this guy have tentacles, neither of the other two main characters are going to question why. They're just asking how they missed it. Excellent. A 5-star on Goodreads says, what's better than a hot thruple? A hot thruple with tentacles. This was an absolute delight. While it is a short and fast read, I was surprised by the depth McDerris managed to create not only with each character, but also in their interactions. There's humor, there's sweet moments, and boy howdy is there spice. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to read the next book and then all of McDerris's books. I definitely recommend this one. I honestly agree.
Yeah.
I was really impressed by how well-defined each character was.
Yeah, it was quick.
It was quick. It's only like 20,000 words. But like every single person's personality was very succinctly and expertly like defined.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely put a lot of thought into each and every one of these characters.
Yeah, they feel like real people. And finally, a 1-star. If I ever get beckoned to with a tentacle, I'm fleeing the country. Bye.
Yeah, right? Leave them for us. See you later.
Get out. What are you doing in this genre? It's not like it hid it from you. It was tinsel and tentacles.
It's right there on the cover.
Literally. This is your fault. I have no sympathy for you.
As always, we will be doing a full rundown. We have lots to say about this one. If you're interested in reading this, you could find the link to this one in our show notes. And we'll be right here waiting for you to tell you all about it. Ready to get into it?
So ready. I mean, I don't think there's a single character in here that I did not like.
I agree. Even some of the like
throwaway side
characters.
Yeah. We start off with the most relatable interaction between Marcy and her mother.
Absolutely.
She's on the phone. She's on her way up to the hotel room. And her mom is guilting her about spending Christmas with them. You're already in New York. Can't you just come up for the day, a few hours? It could be Gran's last Christmas. You've been saying that every year for the past decade. Yes, and at some point it really will be, and then you'll feel terrible.
We've all been there with of guilt trip about something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. But she does respond with, Granny understands she'd be grumpy if I showed up there instead of, you know, doing my actual job I'm getting paid for.
Mm-hmm. And then she puts the wrong key card in the door, and it blinks red, and she says, fuck. And her mother replies, fucking language, darling, and sips her morning coffee loudly. I love this.
I do too, and same. I mean, like, that's the best way to respond to that.
Yeah. I did think it was unrealistic that she is holding her phone between her shoulder and her ear as if this is 2006. Touchscreens just don't really allow for that anymore. Like, I'd be afraid I'm going to hang up.
I do that sometimes. I do the, depending on, and when I'm talking to my mom, like, if I hang up, I hang up. Because typically you're not doing that with somebody that it's like a
Right.
Professional or
attention is required.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. it's like you're doing six other things, carrying a bag up the stairs, trying to unlock the door, yep. holding coffee mm-hmm. and M&Ms in one hand. Like, it's just, you know.
Yes. Side note, speaking of neurodivergent mm-hmm. tendencies, I need to send you this post that absolutely killed me dead.
Okay.
Because it's something along the lines of, just because you figured out the end of their sentence before they finished it doesn't mean you don't have to. You doesn't mean you have to try to guess the end of their sentence.
Which we both just did.
I was like, oh no, this is so me, because every single time I'm editing an episode, I'm like, oh my God, Elle, shut the fuck up and let her finish her sentence.
No, but we both do it. So
it feels like it's more me than you. So I'm so sorry.
I do the same thing. Some of the comments, or maybe it was even just the caption on the post, was like, yeah. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just so excited to be in this conversation.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's totally fine.
Anyway, so she's trying to get into the hotel room. It says, I finally grow a brain and put the coffee tray down on the floor. And then I try the key card again. And I was just like, this is so relatable to be doing like six different things at the same time. I loved it. I loved it.
It was definitely, and it's also like that role of as mm-hmm. the manager of
a star.
What?
I did it again. Please continue.
As the manager of a pop star, it's part of, like, she has to do 75 things at one time. I could never mm-hmm. be me. I would drop the ball so frequently.
Yeah.
But she manages to get it done.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so her mom is trying to get her to invite Barney to Colin's family Christmas. And she says, aside from the fact I wouldn't dare impose the absolute madness of a Collins family Christmas on him, it would be a security nightmare. Everyone would have to sign an NDA. Ryder would have an aneurysm. And so we get like just this perfect intro of like Ryder, of how famous Barney is, what her family is like. It felt so real. I really loved, like, and this is, we're in the first page. It's so good.
Yeah, it was really well written. But also that whole piece of it, if he showed up for Christmas with her family, as long as it's like, guys, be cool. Don't post where we are right now. Like, NDAs are not necessary. They're not getting any, like, information
my family would require the NDA. And even then, my family could not be trusted.
See, my family, I don't think would post that he was there to have like a crowd show up.
Oh, yeah, no.
But what information is to be like NDA worthy?
Yeah.
With a couple hours with somebody?
True.
You know, like it's not like, unless her family has like, I don't know, like lines of coke out on the coffee table, like that somebody's going to record him doing, like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, what would that? But anyway.
No, you're right. You're right.
So she finally gets into the room. She's like, Mom, I gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get all of this stuff. We've got a concert tonight. We've got interviews, all of this. So Ryder, who is the head of security, runs down the hall, helps her grab all of her stuff, and helps her inside. And she gets butterflies. My stomach fizzes mm-hmm. with that light, ticklish feeling I've been getting around him lately. Which, there were a lot of little sentences like that throughout this book that it's like almost gives you that visceral reaction as you're reading it, you know? Like, you can feel it.
I also liked, go ahead.
I wonder if it's the same thing. Go ahead.
It's probably the same thing. Her mom goes, oh, is that Ryder? Tell him my Vovo's got his sweater finished. I wasn't expecting it to take this long, but he's so broad through the chest. You're sure those measurements you sent were correct?
That's funny. And then it's like I'm knitting a quilt. It's like, you're just picturing that like big, beefy man. Love it. But that wasn't, it wasn't the same line. I liked, he leans in and fuck, he smells good. Like some kind of spicy pine forest and mussels.
I did like that also because like, you don't even question that mussels isn't a scent. You're just like,
no, and you're just like, mussels. Yeah.
Mussels.
It, again, it's all well written because it makes you do those things even in your head. The mom is still on the phone and she's like, Marcy, are you going to ask about Christmas? Because originally she had said like it's a security nightmare for Ryder. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, yep. Mom, it's not possible. We're leaving for London first thing in the morning for New Year's. Mm-hmm. And then this is very motherly.
Yes, yes.
Oh, are you doing the morning show with Gail and Greg? Will you meet them? Tell them I said hi. Do you think they're involved? I've always felt like there was some chemistry there. And it's
so
like that,
good.
Yeah, that parasocial relationship that people yes. have with celebrities. And then
yes.
seeing that from like an older woman's perspective is so funny to me because it's yes. spot on.
It's so good. Ryder goes into the room and they're like, we got to drag the sleepy rock star out of bed. Ryder goes into the bedroom and then comes straight back out. His usual deep golden complexion drains to a washed out gray. My throat clenches with sudden anxiety. I rush into the bedroom. The bed is rumpled and empty. This, I was like afraid because I was like, I like forgot what genre I was in for a second.
Like, we can't do another one that gets too dark. That cover looked so light and fluffy.
Exactly. But she does go on to think that Barney Miles has never been one to abuse any substances or have any trouble with drinking or anything else along those lines. As far as world-famous, chart-topping musicians go, he's actually pretty boring and extremely private. So she's like, what could have happened here? She spins around and there is a window in this massive hotel suite between the bedroom and the bathroom, which is overlooking the massive marble tub. And it would have to be massive.
Yes.
It would have to be massive
for what
for
we
the
get
events.
Later. Yes. But also a window from the bathroom to the from the bedroom to the bathroom is like my nightmare. I hate yeah. that. That's a terrible yes. design.
Yes. Even in like a fancy hotel suite, I yes. cannot
no.
imagine why you would want that.
Like, let me have my bathroom space
privacy,
private
yeah.
unless I'm inviting someone into it.
Yes.
You know?
In which case, you can open the door.
Exactly. There doesn't yeah. need to be a window.
It says, my jaw unhinges. Suddenly, I can't even get enough air in my lungs to make a sound. All I can do is stand there and stare. For how long, I have no idea. I'm mesmerized, hypnotized, captivated, whatever. It's so good. So on the other side of the window, Barney Miles, voted sexiest man alive multiple times, is in the giant soaking tub. A set of long, glossy pink and purple marbled tentacles rise up from the mountain of bubbles.
No notes.
Okay.
Also, love that they're pink and purple. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, I just loved
yeah.
it. All of it. He's got music. And this also kind of made me think of that scene in Pretty Woman where she's in the bathtub and she's singing along to Prince.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because he's like bopping his head to whatever music's playing. He's got a smile on his face. And he just seems very at peace with where he is.
Mm-hmm.
So then Ryder comes up behind her, wraps his arms around her and kind of pulls her out of the way and goes, we did not see that. Which mm-hmm. is very much like you got to wonder how much bodyguards and personal assistants and managers
see
stuff
yeah.
like that, you know?
Totally. The one thing that I thought was interesting was that warm tickle in my lower belly that Ryder ignited grows and spreads, melting further down in a liquid heat that pools right between my legs. Like, we get the information immediately that mm-hmm. she's like, tentacles? I'm in. Body was instantly on board.
Which is also, like, one of those things where, like, there's somebody for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
What you think is an insecurity or something you don't want to share with somebody is going to be somebody else's, like, number one on their checklist.
No, exactly.
Ryder tells her to breathe. He says, just breathe and act normal, Marcy. We didn't see anything. Then we get a perspective shift to Ryder, the bodyguard. We get the information that he's been with Barney for the past 4 years as his head of security. Marcy was with him from the beginning, so she's been with him for 6 years. And she was the one that suggested that he have full-time security. So Marcy's seen some shit.
Yep.
It says, over the past few years, the three of us have developed a natural rhythm together. We move through the crowds as a fluid unit, and I'm the shield. Marcy's the closest to Barney, of course, there to anticipate all of his needs. My job is to watch and anticipate the rest of the world. He ends up being, like, you know, the protector, because that's his role. But also, like, he's got that sweet side to him.
Yeah.
And we find out he's a little kinky. It's all good. All of it is fantastic. There's so much plot here.
Yeah. But it doesn't feel like too much.
No. But it's like almost like a slow burn for another.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is crazy how we managed to get this exact correct pacing.
Yeah.
For this story, because, like, we're getting from Ryder's perspective here how much he appreciates that Barney is comfortable around them. It's such a point of pride for him that that Barney is comfortable sharing himself in various states of undress. He can let loose and be as much of himself as he can be around anyone. And Ryder is thinking, that side of Barney Miles is just for me and Marcy to see. It's precious and sacred. And then we get this indication that his, like, lines are starting to blur. A personal protection officer can't identify outward threats if they're too distracted by inward personal feelings, which is why it's a really bad idea to get involved on an intimate level with one's subject. Those hard lines that I instilled at the beginning have only smudged softer with time. More recently, they've dissolved into nothing but a blur. I think what I've just seen may have eviscerated them entirely.
So he's also saw the tentacles and is like, sign me up.
Yeah.
Great.
Let's go.
Love it.
And he's thinking, like, having Marcy in his arms, he's like, we need to breathe. I let her loose and get a little distance between our bodies. I shouldn't like the way her supple curves feel pressed up against me like that. I shouldn't like the way Barney's wet, slick body looked in that tub, or the way those tentacles swayed and curled in the air so thick and glistening. Like, thruple! It's well done. And this is coming from someone who is like, I cannot... It is just foreign to me, the idea of having, like, strong romantic feelings for multiple partners.
Yeah.
Like, that's just never how I've been built.
I'm the same way. If I have feelings for one person, really, I'm all in on that one person.
Yeah.
But if I were to get into a throuple, this is the kind I would do. I don't think I could do a throuple with two girls and one guy, me personally. Yeah. And that's just because I can be jealous and I can be insecure. And that's this is probably a me issue that I need to unpack a little bit.
And here I was thinking it might be nice to have another girl around.
You're a lot more secure, especially in your current relationship. So
true.
There's that. So the phone rings again. Ryder gets to it first and says, it's your mom. And she goes, she's going to have to chill her tits. Funny. I like this kind of description where it's not, she's not describing herself. We're getting a description of Marcy from Ryder's perspective. And it says, she glances up to me, green eyes shining and watery. Crimson freckles pop brightly across the canvas of her starkly pale skin. Her wild curls fan out in wisps, framing her round face. She threw on her glasses this morning, not bothering with contacts yet. How could he not tell us all this time? Fuck, how did we miss that?
I like that she's got wild curls. I like that she has a round face. I like that she didn't bother with contacts and she wears glasses. Like, I feel like she's, aside from the fact that she is a redhead, which is, fantasy main character energy that exists only in fiction. I feel like she's described, like, as a real woman and not, like, look at her, like, perfect hourglass figure. Like, she's got curves.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't get the sense that she was like, you know, stereotypically pretty or like, I don't know, like sexy in like
which is
objectifying way.
Of the problem that I've grown up reading books like this, and it makes me think that I have a shot with. And I do not. And it's such a shame.
I just saw an interview with Scarlett Johansson recently.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, no one ever, like, asked me out. I don't know if it was because I was in the industry so, like, since I was a kid. But, like, no one ever, like, did, like, the casual, like, hey, want to get dinner sometime? Like, and it was very isolating. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe you do have a shot. You just got to have the balls to ask.
Maybe.
You could be the, like, you know, the rock in a stable for a rock star. You know, you'd be such a good presence.
Don't do this to me. Don't feed into it. Give me hope that one day Harry Styles will walk into my coffee shop and
in glasses and a beanie and the desperate attempt to hide his identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
And I hadn't put in my contacts that morning, so I'm just wearing my glasses. And
he thinks you're beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. Right. None of it is ever going to happen for me. This is bullshit. Oh, man, I love these books so much, and they just give me false hope for my own life.
Oh, man. So the thing that I also loved about this was when the two of them saw Barney in the tub, he's delighted and, like, open, and there's joy across his face. And it says, Barney comes out of the bathroom and he's fully human again.
Yeah, no more tentacles. He's nice and dry.
Yep. Ryder thinks he's exactly like I've seen him hundreds of times, except now I feel as though I've never seen him before in my life. My heart clenches knowing that the happiness and freedom he'd been feeling moments ago has vanished. And then he picks up the coffee that Marcy brought and takes a sip, and it says his eyes shutter and there's a flicker of that bliss again. Almost. It feels like a glimpse of the sun through a rainstorm. And it's just like, this is, it's so good. It's so good. And Barney hugs the cup with both hands and says, I can't believe you remembered, to Marcy, because this is apparently like one of his favorite places in New York. And she says, I know everything about you, Barnes. Marcy's voice is a little too quiet, a little too heavy. They lock eyes for a moment. I nudge her boot with my toe and she blinks. It's my job.
See,
and this makes him sad.
Yes. I love this because that's my love language there too. Like,
is like bringing stuff.
So like, mm-hmm. knowing that it's their favorite or seeing mm-hmm. something that I know that they would like. Like, that's how I show my affection and my love for people. So like, I felt this uh-huh. where like, he's hoping that she is giving him this coffee because she loves him. And then she mm-hmm. says, it's my job.
Yeah. And he replies, yeah, I guess it is. The sun vanishes from his face and the clouds sweep in again, dark and thunderous. He stares out the window at the bleak winter sky. Anyway, thanks.
So this was where it all was starting. And I'm like, oh, God, we're going to get this miscommunication trope. Which I hate. I hate it because miscommunication never leads to relationships. It breaks them down instead.
Like, yes. It's so annoying. But pleasantly surprised. If there is a miscommunication, but it is
yes.
good.
Yes.
And hilarious. And
yes.
amazing.
Agreed. So she starts to give a rundown of what they've got going on for the morning. They've got breakfast mm-hmm. on the way up. And then in 92 minutes, which is funny, we depart yes. for rehearsal and sound check at the garden. Now, I at first forgot that this was in New York and I got all excited because yeah. I understand right now that it's Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
But in Boston, TD Garden is like...
I see.
So I was like, oh, this is in Boston. It got me excited for a second. It's not. It's in New York.
No. Nope.
You can have
Absolutely.
It. That's fine.
Don't worry. I'll take it. Also, I identified so much with like the discussion of logistics around this because mm-hmm. Barney basically says, is there any chance we'll be going by the big tree? And Marcy's like, you want to see the Rockefeller Christmas tree? And he's basically trying to hide how much he wants to see the tree.
Mood.
Yeah. And Ryder is like, it says, I lean forward and massage the back of my neck while I run through the logistics in my mind. A little elf starts tapping a hammer behind my eyes at the mere thought of trying to navigate Christmas Eve crowds. This is how I feel anytime anyone comes to visit and they're like, I want to see Times Square. And I'm like, I want to make that happen for you. I will just die a little inside while I escort you. So Marcy and Ryder are kind of exchanging looks, and they realize that Barney never asks for anything. And it's clear that he really wants this. And they're like kind of thinking through, can we make this happen? And before we can really get into it, we switch to Barney's perspective. So we get the rock star.
We also get a really good look behind the curtain with the loneliness that somebody that's that well known. Like you can be surrounded by people constantly and still be very, very lonely.
Yes.
So we do get Barney's perspective now, and he's like, something's up with Marcy and Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been seeing their like looks at each other and apparently missing their looks to him as well. So it's like they're all seeing everything except for what they want to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, mood. That's the way, isn't it?
Yes. He thinks, I've been noticing for a while now, but today just got weird. Now they're quiet and painted in guilt. I wonder if they finally hooked up. I want to be glad for them if it means they're happy. The truth is, thinking about them in each other's arms brings a knot to my throat, an ache so tight in my chest, it crushes me from the inside out. I want something that simply isn't possible.
Sad.
Yeah.
Also why communication is so important. You never know if you don't ask.
That's true. So they are in an SUV on their way to the podcast that he's going to do an interview for. And Marcy texts him. They're sitting right next to each other. And this is such a friend thing, I feel, like to be in a group, you know, in whatever kind of situation, and you text one person because they're like kind of zoning out.
Yeah.
And she's like, in text, she says, you okay? And it says, she's right next to me in the seat. She could just ask if she wanted to. Instead, she knocks my thigh with her knee and ducks forward a little so she can peek at my face. I hold back a smile, but I nudge her with my elbow and text back, fine, focused. And it's just like, it's just such a little, there's so many good little teeny tiny interactions that really do a good job of like slowly building up these blocks of the relationships between these characters and like what they want. And like, they're like, I feel their deep-seated yearning. This is only 20,000 words.
Yeah, we're 14 pages in.
We're 14 pages in, and I'm just like,
it's also wild because it is, we're getting the yearning, which we don't get a lot of times in a novella. So like we're getting that, and it's really like typically by 14 pages, we're already one orgasm in.
Yes. We have a destination. We're trying to get there as fast as possible.
And yeah, but today we're enjoying the ride.
Get in this SUV and feel the vibes. I love it. And I loved, to your point of the isolation and the loneliness.
Yeah.
They're driving up and, like, it's really, really crowded because the podcast basically has been teasing that he's going to be on their podcast for a while. So it's no secret that he's going to be there. And it says, I love my fans. I really do. At the same time, their adoration is incredibly isolating. To be recognized means getting swamped. It means creating problems for the business owners of the places I might try to visit. So I've come to exist solely within hotel rooms and darkly tinted SUVs with the occasional foray out onto a stage where I soak up my songs echoed back to me by thousands of screaming fans. Like,
it's sad.
Damn.
Yeah. But also, I mean, I feel like then New York's the wrong setting for this book.
Yeah, because celebrities literally walk down the street in New York. And
when I was in New York for that conference.
Yes.
I got sushi at the restaurant across the street from my hotel. But as I was leaving, walking past the door as I was like opening it was Jesse Tyler Ferguson and his husband.
Oh.
Justin, I want to say Makita, but that might not be the right last name.
See, and you know more celebrities than I do.
So he's from Modern Family, but I was like, oh hey. But yeah. I tried to play it cool.
You're like, I'm in New York.
I'm in New York. Cool. I can't be like, oh, hey, I know who you are. But in my head, I was like, I know who you are.
I agree. We've talked about it before when we were reading Gaga for the Gargoyle of like, in New York, it is illegal to see anything. This is why all of the slogans are like, if you see something, say something, because they have to specifically tell you that you gotta say something because this is New York. You're not supposed to say something.
That's funny. They pull up. Ryder says, head down, watch your feet. And they've got police officers there to, like, deal with the crowd. It's one of those things, though, where, like, shame on the podcast people to have let that information out because this is what happens.
Yeah.
Especially when they're in town for a concert.
Right. They're, like, people have already flown in to be here specifically to see this guy. Like, of course, they're going to then make their way to the podcast studio. And like, as podcasters ourselves, it is worth noting that like, you can tease an upcoming episode without divulging when and where you're doing the recording for it.
Yes. So he's blocking out flashes and hands, and they end up in a narrow alley, which sounds unsafe.
It does.
Then they get up through a back alley doorway into a low-ceilinged hallway lined with peach-painted cinder blocks. And they end up going up to the 24th floor. And he realizes that Marcy and Ryder are both acting weird.
Yep.
So he calls them on it.
Yes.
He says, what's with you guys today? Why are you acting so weird? And Marcy goes, weird? Your face is weird. Which is 100% something I would say if I was uncomfortable and didn't know how to respond to something like that. Like
100%.
Yeah.
I'm in this picture and I don't like it.
I do, because she's going to end up with the rock star.
Fair. And Ryder mutters, Marce, what the fuck? And she says, sorry, reflex. I used to say that to my brothers. Your face is fine, Barnes. It's great. Perfect, actually. It's a podcast anyway. Nobody's going to be looking at your face. And so she just keeps making it worse.
Yeah.
It's so good. They get up to the top floor. They're watching Barney inside the sound booth. And Ryder's like, your face is weird? What are you, 12? And so they're watching Barney and this is kind of the first, aside from like the instant tinge of lust that we got for the tentacles.
Yeah.
This is kind of the first indication we get from Marcy that she has like a more deep affection for Barney, I guess. Yeah. She thinks his charm is turned up to 11 and he's joking around in that adorably charismatic way he does that makes everybody instantly love him. It even worked on me at first and I had a huge crush that I kept to myself for obvious professional reasons. Now I'm still smitten and love him, but in a way that's filled with mutual respect and admiration. There's a vulnerability there that I feel a deep desire to protect. I catch it now in the way he fidgets with his hoodie string. To anyone else, he's just playing. To me, it's clear he wants to shove it in his mouth and gnaw on it. And that makes me concerned that he's anxious. It's just like because she sees so much of him.
Yeah. When you spend so much time with somebody,
mm-hmm.
affection grows. Or,
yeah.
I mean, I guess it could go both ways. Affection or animosity could grow if you're spending a ton of time with somebody. But either way, you're picking up on all of their tells. Like, you know when things are off that other people might just brush off as a nothing.
Totally. Yep. Absolutely. And she says to Ryder, something's up with him. I mean, besides, you know. And Ryder's like, it's a show day. He's always anxious on a show day. And she frowns and says, do you think he knows we know? And Ryder's like, I don't know.
Made me think, do you think He knows we know Uno for friends.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows that we know that we know that he knows.
That immediately made me think of that.
Yep. And Ryder's like, I don't know, but he already thinks we're acting weird. He knows something. Not to mention the pressure of keeping a thing like that under wraps. It's got to be exhausting. And like, mood.
Yeah.
Especially when you're that visible.
Yeah, for sure. So Marcy asks Ryder, is there anything that we can do about getting him to that Christmas tree?
She asks Ryder and Hartwell, who is Barney's business manager. He's sleek and polished with perfectly clipped salt and pepper hair, but somehow still casual in a black knit half zip pullover and dark jeans with cognac Chelsea boots. I immediately knew who this character was and what his vibe was. It's so well done. He's here for like two or three sentences at most throughout this entire story. And he's also like a whole ass person.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. And it says at Rockefeller today, Hartwell acts like I'm the one who just sprouted tentacles. Jesus, it's a fucking madhouse over there, wall to wall.
Also, I don't know if we got the information that it's actually Christmas Eve.
It is Christmas Eve, yes. But Hartwell says, I'll see what I can put together. And Barney comes out of the interview and Rick says, so I've got some news, which freaks everybody out, especially Barney.
Always.
And he says, how many fingers am I holding up? And Barney says, two. Hartwell says, that's right. You've just gone multi-platinum. And this makes everybody excited. Barney as well. And they all kind of like get into a group hug. Marcy thinks Barney's arms are around my neck. He's taller than me, but not by a whole lot. His body is thin and lanky, all sinewy dancer's muscles, and he smells like bubble bath and something I've never been able to put my finger on before, the ocean.
I love it when all of my senses are involved, so.
I know you do. Rick Hartwell says, celebration lunch, I got us a spot at Nobu, and Nobu is sushi, famous New York restaurant that is like impossible to get reservations at and is also one of those places that just gets mentioned literally anytime you want to sound fancy when you're in New York City.
Yeah.
And Barney's excited flush drains in an instant. And Marcy says, no sushi. He's allergic to shellfish. And Hartwell says, since when? And Barney is like, since always, man. But he's now refusing to look at Marcy. Like, he's never told her that he's allergic to shellfish. That's not a thing that she's supposed to know, which, like, in 6 years, I feel like his aversion to anything sushi-related would have come up, especially as a famous rock star who's probably at restaurants like Nobu.
Right. You would think that that would have been, because he's not actually allergic.
No. He just it makes him feel sick. Yeah.
I mean, I guess octopus is not a shellfish. But you would think that he would have come up with that lie
early
at some point early in his life. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they're on their way to Carmine's instead. And on their way out, Marcy glances out into Times Square at all the tourists taking selfies and a leisurely stroll to see the sights. I hate that Barney can't be one of them. If he showed up there, it'd be absolute chaos. We pass by a cart with a guy selling some unique merchandise that catches my eye. I press my hand to the window and peer out, trying to get a better look. My breath catches. Suddenly, I feel like the Grinch, and an evil grin spreads across my face as I get a wonderful, awful idea.
I loved it.
Me too.
So good.
So good.
So good. So we don't actually get what this idea is yet, but mm-mm. She does tell Ryder and Ryder immediately says no.
Absolutely fucking not. We're not doing that. No fucking way. And she juts out her lower lip and it's so goddamned kissable. I nearly pass out from the sudden blood loss to my brain.
And she says, he needs this, please. It's a brilliant idea.
It's a terrible idea. And then he thinks to himself, it's a genius idea. And I'm honestly kind of pissed I didn't think of it myself.
So this I love so much because it is, we find out, the usual rock star, royalty, famous mm-hmm. person trope of we're gonna put a wig and a beard on you and yeah. go out in disguise. Mm-hmm. It is fantastic. Occasionally, I feel like that happens and celebrities will still get noticed. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like during COVID, when everybody was wearing masks.
Yeah.
Even with the hat on and the mask, people were mm-hmm. still identifying, like, that's yeah. Tom Hanks, you know?
True.
Like, especially if you're a famous rock star. Mm-hmm. Your fans are so rabid mm-hmm. that they know your gait. Like, they know yeah. the way you walk. They know yep. the way that your mannerisms. They know all of it. That this would get clocked immediately.
Yeah. I do amend my disbelief, though, about this being in New York.
Yeah.
Because it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And everyone in Rockefeller Plaza and Times Square is a tourist. They do yeah. not play it chill.
That's true.
So they would absolutely become a mob for a rock star. They're yeah. not true New Yorkers. They're not like used to that kind of vibe.
That's true. Plus, I mean, that whole area is made to be mob-like.
Yeah.
In that, like, you know, all of the studios that are up there.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So basically, Barney is stewing about Marcy's comment, and he's wondering if he gave himself away, like, what's going on. He finds Marcy and Ryder right outside the private room in what appears to be some kind of standoff. Then she jumps up and down and lets out an obscene dolphin squeal that jolts straight through my body. It's so good. I love it so much. Ryder says, go ahead, tell him your genius plan. She pulls out a weird knitted thing that looks like it has a shaggy brown mop attached. And she says, put this on. And it turns out it's a disguise with white horns sticking out of the top like a Viking helmet. And it has a yarn beard and braids dangling from the mustache. And then they put Ryder in a Santa Claus outfit.
Is it a whole outfit or is it just a hat for him too?
It's a hat and a beard.
Okay. So like the same kind of thing though. Not a whole like he's not putting on the red suit or whatever.
No.
Okay.
And Marcy says the whole point is so he doesn't get attention. If everybody's looking at you, they won't be looking at him, which is smart. Because Ryder is huge, and then he's also going to be wearing this ridiculous, like, yarn beard with a Santa hat.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, like, another security guy is there. His name is Theo. And he says, hey, Santa, do I get to sit on your lap and tell you what I want for Christmas? Marcy, you're a genius.
I loved this because it also, this is another one that he's a side character. He yeah. gets maybe three lines, but you yep. can tell that he's got a good working relationship with Ryder and that he respects the fact that, like, they're all, we're going to find out that they're kind of all going to be placed strategically around. So
yep.
still working for his safety and whatnot. I loved yep. it. Perfect.
Yep. Unfortunately, they then pile in the back of a nondescript delivery truck, which turns out to have a box of calamari, which is terrifying. But they get to Rockefeller Plaza, and Ryder says, Marcy slips Julio, the driver of the delivery truck, some cash and a wink. I don't know how much she's handed over in this little endeavor already, but I'm positive it's a ridiculous amount. I'm also positive every cent is completely worth it when Julio pulls away and I see the look of wonder shining on Barney's face.
So here, there's a couple times now that Marcy's going to be spending a ridiculous amount of money.
Uh-huh.
Is she spending Barney's money
her
or
money
she's spending
or Barney's
her own?
Money? I assumed that she would be spending Barney's money. Like, as a personal assistant, like, she's going to have access to all of his finances.
That's fair.
Like, she's going to be making these kinds of reservations and bookings for him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does say she's paid very well. So it's possible she's spending her own money. Because she loves him and wants him to have a good time. But she is about to drop like $2,000 on season passes to the Rockefeller ice rink.
Yeah.
Which is a little rich for my blood for one afternoon.
Is that, now I need to know, is that like a thing?
I have no idea. I was wondering this. I was like, I should look this up. And then I decided, or I didn't decide anything. I completely forgot.
Well, I'm going to find out because it's not an episode if we didn't. It's also, it's not Rockefeller. Okay.
Nope.
It's Rockefeller.
Yes.
Let's see. Doesn't say anything about
a season pass.
A season pass.
Well, seems like Kate McDerris took some fictional liberties, which I don't mind.
I'll accept it.
Indeed. So they get out on the ice rink. Barney says to Ryder, who's trying to keep them from going ice skating because he's afraid that Barney's going to break his leg right before show.
Fair.
Which is fair. Barney says, you played hockey, didn't you? And Ryder was like, yeah, how did you remember that? And he says, doesn't matter. You're good at skating and you're my bodyguard. I can't break a leg if you're here to protect me. And so this was also so relatable to me because this is a very common thing. They all get out on the ice rink. They're having a grand old time. They almost make it without a major disaster. And then Ryder ends up having to catch them. He has them balanced until Marcy collides with him, and then they all go down in one big heap. Ryder mutters toe pick, which is completely out of left field if you don't understand what's happening. But he's a hockey player, and so he's used to ice skates that don't have a toe pick.
Okay.
And when you rent skates at the ice rink, they're always figure skates. And so if you learned to skate without a toe pick, you have a break on the front of your skate that you're not used to.
Yeah.
And that is very common to make people fall over, which is so funny to me because it doesn't get explained. It's just left here as like a little nod to...
That is so wildly Michigan of you, though. There's some things that are very New England about me, and that was just a very Michigan thing that you just came out with. So I loved that. That was great.
So they are all getting off of the ice. Marcy veers off to get us some hot chocolate. So Barney and Ryder are left alone. Barney says, this is the best, Ryder, seriously. And Ryder replies, as long as you don't have frostbite. And he takes off his hat and brings Barney's hands to his mouth and blows warm air over them. Damn.
Yeah, sexy.
Yeah. He says, these are incredibly talented hands. Can't have your fingers falling off. And Barney says, yeah, that'd be bad. He stares at the spot where his palm presses against my mouth. A buzz sets up at the base of my spine, and it's definitely not aftershocks from the fall. His fingers go still, and I press my lips into a lingering kiss.
Now, this is like risky business here.
It is. They're in public.
They're in public, one. Two, it's technically his boss that he's kissing. Mm-hmm. And this is not something that you can just like play off.
No.
Also, we don't ever really get any indication as to sexual preferences.
Yeah.
Prior to this.
True.
It seems as though both Ryder and Barney are bisexual.
Yeah.
But we never get, is like this the first?
True. There isn't any discussion of that, which I think is actually, I didn't stop to question it. I feel like Kate McDerris does a really good job of just like
making it just be what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know how else to describe that. Like, I don't know the way that it was written and the way that their interactions kind of went through up to this point. I just like fully accepted that we were all here for all of the things.
Which I kind of love.
Yeah.
So then.
Mm-hmm. We take it up to 11.
Barney says to him, I don't think that's working. Mm-hmm. And then Barney moves his hands down and slides them up under Ryder's
shirt. Yep.
It says, it steals my breath at first, and then I ease into his touch. All I could think here, yes, this is very sexy.
But also,
your hands are freezing. Don't touch me. Like,
yeah.
Is that all very sexy, very hot? It's great. Yes. But also, if your hands are icicles, get them the fuck away from my stomach. Are you kidding? That was nice and cozy. I was wearing a jacket. No way. I don't want, that's the only part of my body that's not an icicle right now. Get your freezing hands away from them. You know?
Ryder disagrees because Barney asks, is this okay? And it says, I try to say it's probably not very professional, but the only thing that comes out of my mouth is don't stop.
Fantastic. Love it. So like Ryder made the first move, but then Barney
confirmed and escalated.
Yes. Loved that. Mm-hmm.
So they're about to like full on make out, I feel like, in the middle of Rockefeller mm-hmm. Plaza when yep. Marcy says, what are you guys doing? And she's not here to judge them for getting intimate. No, she says, put your hats back on, you doofs. Somebody could recognize you, for fuck's sake.
I mean, and that, like, that's the riskiest part of it all. Somebody snapped a picture. That's in the background of somebody's photograph.
Someone's photos. Yeah, because it's all tourists taking pictures in Rockefeller Plaza.
And you just hope that it's like some grandma that doesn't know who it is. Uh-huh. So it's not going to get sold to a tabloid for the highest bidder, you know?
Mm-hmm. So they make it to rehearsal. They have no issues. Nobody recognizes him. They have a great afternoon, etc. And then they are in the green room getting ready for the concert. And Marcy's fixing Barney a plate. And this is where the best miscommunication I've ever witnessed mm-hmm. in fiction occurs. Because Barney says, I just wanted to thank you both again for today. It really meant a lot to me. You mean a lot to me. And Marcy says, you mean a lot to us too, Barnes. And Ryder says, we're here for you. Whatever you need, we want you to be safe and happy. Barney says, there's something I've been wanting to share with you both for a while now. And I think today was the first time I really thought it might be possible. And Marcy thinks she knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And she says, it's okay. We kind of figured it out. And Barney says, you know, I didn't realize I'd been that obvious. And Ryder says, you definitely weren't. I never would have suspected until this morning. Barney's like, oh, is that why you were acting so weird? And Marcy was like, I mean, it was kind of a shock at first, but in more of an unexpected way, not a bad way. I only wish you'd said something sooner. So then they like end up like in this big old hug. And then Barney's like, Marcy, I just really want to kiss you so bad right now. And she's like, would that make you happy? He was like, so happy. So he kisses Marcy and then pulls Ryder close and then kisses Ryder. They have like a little makeout sesh. And then Barney's like, okay, you guys are both going to need to not touch me again until the show is over tonight. After that, we'll figure it out. And then he leaves. And it leaves Ryder and Marcy. And Marcy goes, he wasn't talking about the tentacle. And Ryder goes, nope. And she goes, okay, so we just agreed to. And Ryder goes, a thruple.
She goes, I was going to go with Minaj, but okay. And then Ryder says, I think 2 out of 3 of us have to be married for it to be a menage a trois. Thruple implies a more casual arrangement. She thinks all I can do is stare up at him. He scrunches his nose and it's adorable. And then says, my parents were swingers. I got to know some things.
Like, and she goes, wow, aren't you full of surprise?
What a day.
And then they have a really good clarifying conversation, which was, anyway, I guess it's clear we're both into him. And Ryder winds his arms across his chest and his muscles flex. And Marcy goes a little cross-eyed. He says, but what about, and she says, don't even finish that sentence. I've wanted to dick you down since the second I laid eyes.
Love that.
Yeah. And it says he lets out a strangled noise and drops his arms. Really?
So, but then she's like, oh, shoot. Now I just showed all my cards. And then she says, well, how about you? And he says, sometimes I hope there's a security breach just so I have an excuse to throw my body on top of yours.
It's so good.
And then they
just stand there staring at each other after these confessions. And Marcy goes, why does this feel like middle school? And so that they get into the most awkward.
Yeah, this is wild. She goes, grab my tit. And he goes, come again. She goes, grab it. It's okay.
Like, so they're having this argument where she's like trying to get him to grab her boobs. And then Rick walks in and is like stomping on the floor because he saw a spider, apparently.
No, 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 no. Rick walks in and Ryder swipes at her chest. Ryder pretends that there was a spider on the floor. Pretends that there was a spider on her because she had finally
He's
gotten
holding
him.
Her breast. Okay. I was so confused.
Yeah, no. So, like, he goes, where'd it go? And she's like, huh? And he goes, did I get it? And she's like, I don't know. So then they look at Rick and they're like, there is a spider. And he's like, all right. Just wanted to let you know we're keeping an eye on the weather. A nor'easter is coming in and they might shut down the airport, which we're reminded that they're supposed to be flying out to London for
in the morning.
In the morning or right after the concert.
So the concert goes amazingly. Barney comes off the stage. They all hug. It's all fantastic. They take the subway back to the hotel and have a snowball fight. Yeah.
It says 20,000 people brave a blizzard on Christmas Eve just to see Barney sing.
You want to know how big the capacity for Madison Square Garden is?
Oh, 19,500.
Kate McDerris did her research.
Wild.
There it is. So they take the subway. Nobody's around. The crowd from the concert has already filtered through. It's late on Christmas Eve. This all makes sense to me. They have a snowball fight on the way back.
Which I love.
Very wholesome, very cute. And then they get up to the hotel room. It's totally normal for the rest of the team that Marcy and Ryder would both accompany Barney back to his room to get him settled.
Yep.
And so they're finally alone. And Ryder says, you look cold, Barney. I think you could use a bubble bath. And this is where they finally have the we know you have tentacles conversation.
Yes. So he starts to panic. And Marcy says, it's okay, Barney. We saw you. And then Ryder kind of points to the window from the bedroom into the bath, which he had never noticed, which seems a little bit suspicious.
If you were terrified and you constantly had like your personal assistants and your head of security going in and out of your hotel room, I feel like you'd be a bit observant about that kind of thing.
Yes.
However, as far as plot holes go,
it's not the worst one we've encountered.
True.
Not by a long shot.
So they assure him that he's safe with them.
And Marcy says, if we're going to be with you, though, we want to be with all of you. Just very sweet. And Ryder says, just so this is clear before we get started, we're all here for sex, right? And then says, hey, consent is important. And I love that.
And Marcy says, you're totally right. I'm not making fun. I think it's hot. And I'm here for all the sex. And Barney says, me too. I want to fuck both of you. I want to watch you fuck each other. I want you both to fuck me. Whatever order that all happens in, I don't care. We are all on board. We're going to have a conversation about what's okay.
Yes.
Ryder asks any hard limits. And then Barney says, I don't like teeth or biting. Marcy says, no derogatory names for me. I know it's hot for some people, but I don't like being called a slut or a whore.
All great.
All of this is good. And Ryder says, has anyone ever said that to you? And she says, a guy in college tried it once. And then they establish the red, yellow, green, which is the stoplight system.
Which, I mean, how far I've come.
How far you've come. Yes. So they say green means we're all good. Yellow is for slow down. Red means hard stop. Just an extra fail safe if anything gets to be too fast or too much or we need a break. Then they talk about birth control and test results. This is the best.
This is great.
Yes.
And it also shows that like you can have those conversations and not ruin the moment. Like, you can have those conversations and still be totally primed and ready to go, making sure that, like, everybody's on the same page.
Yes. I mean, we talk about how books should not be a guide to the lifestyle, but goddamn if this isn't a checklist of things that you should do.
Yeah, this is a good one.
I'm so impressed. And then, so we're on page 65 out of this 100-page book.
Yeah.
and the rest of this is all smut.
Yes, but like it took more than half the book to get there, which is unusual for what we've been reading lately.
True.
Yes.
What a slow burn.
So we're in Barney's perspective. So Ryder asks him, what do you want to do first? And he says, kiss you. So Ryder and Barney are making out. Marcy starts to take Barney's pants off.
Mm-hmm.
And then he thinks, I'm naked now, but I don't know how that happened. Marcy's licking where my balls join the base of my cock. Her hand is wrapped around my shaft. It pulses as she squeezes and strokes. So also, he just did a concert.
I was thinking that's going to be so sweaty.
So sweaty.
Gross.
So sweaty.
That's love.
Yeah, right?
Also, I feel like a rock star is going to have been wearing like leather pants or something.
Pants. So it's even sweatier.
It's going to be so hard to get his pants off. And then on top of it, it's going to be so sweaty.
So they get him into the tub.
Yep. And as soon as he slides into the water, a groan rumbles up from deep within me. No human has ever seen me like this before. Then I remind myself that these two already have. They've seen the real me and they wanted all of it.
This is one of those things where it's nice to know that you've given all of the information ahead of time.
Yes.
And they're making those decisions with that already out there on the table. You know?
Yes, absolutely.
So this was one like that insecurity for him is already gone because they already know, they've already seen it. And they're like, that wasn't even part of what, well, I guess it was part of what spiraled all of this to begin with. But like.
True. But there was no hesitation.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. He raises a tentacle and beckons them forward. You want to come in? This must have been when that reviewer said if someone beckoned me with a tentacle, I'd be like, yes, please. I would like to come in.
Let's do it. Yep. So Marcy and Ryder get into the bathtub, which has to be huge for all three of these grown adults to be in it. I want a bathtub that big.
I do too.
I don't want to clean a bathtub that big, but I
also
want a bathtub.
Think about
big.
How long that takes to fill up too.
True.
Like, that's a lot of water.
Well, as long as you don't live in like California where there are droughts, it's fine. This is Marcy's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks, I can hardly believe this is happening. All those times I had to stop myself from staring at the wide expanse of Ryder's chest. All those times I had to avoid dance rehearsals just so I wouldn't drool over the way Barney moves his hips. Now they're here looking at me like I'm the snack they're craving. My body floods with heat. The insides of my thighs get slick. Incredible.
And then Barney uses those tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
It's warm and smooth and gentle as it grips my waist and pulls me closer. Another one curls around Ryder's muscular thigh. A prehensile tip plays with the bulging head of his cock. He leans forward with a loud groan. We love those prehensile tentacles.
Absolutely. And then, of course, one slips between Marcy's legs. She makes out with Barney. Ryder starts massaging her breasts.
I have a question for you.
Oh, yeah.
So they're in the water. They're fully
they
in the water. Did the tentacles cancel that out for you?
Because I bit. Brain was just like,
on board.
Yep, we're out. Especially a bubble bath. Like, this is just so not a good idea for a vagina.
Yeah. Also, the natural lubrication of the tentacles seems to be a good thing.
Yes. Then we get an incredible question, which is, how do you like it, front or back? And Marcy says, oh, my breath catches and I bite down on my lower lip, both. And Barney says, good. And so then we get tentacles in multiple holes.
Yeah. I mean, you got eight of them. Might as well use them.
Why have tentacles if you're not going to utilize them?
And this is also one of those situations where with the three of them, all three of them can and will be filled up all in that.
All at the same time?
Yeah.
Yep.
I found myself not even looking too much into the logistics of it because it just worked.
Yeah, it did. So Marcy's fully penetrated with two tentacles, I want to say. Or is one of them
no,
Barney's cock?
No, one of them is Ryder.
No, because Ryder's about to fuck Barney.
Mm.
Yeah, I think Marcy's only got tentacles.
Okay, great for her.
Yeah. And then Barney begs Ryder to fuck him because he wants to come with Marcy.
Also, Ryder is the one that is kind of orchestrating all of this,
mm-hmm.
which, again, that big protective energy. He gives off that dominant energy throughout all of it. So
yep.
he does call her a good girl and then says, next time you breathe out, push against him.
Yep.
Love that.
That actually worked for me.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Plot twist.
I've never liked good girl before.
Wow.
And that one worked.
Wow. That's amazing. We're back in Ryder's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
He is starting to prep Barney
mm-hmm.
with a finger or two.
Yep.
Barney is pleading. His voice is desperate. I need you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says to him, I've got you, Barney. Take what you need, baby. I'm right here.
Mm-hmm.
And it says his hand closes around my raging dick, which didn't love
raging's
it.
Raging's not my favorite no. word here, but.
And it's all I can do to hold back as he guides me to his entrance. I remember how tight and textured he is and choke back a shout. We did get that there is
like ridges on the inside.
Which is interesting. I mean, I guess the logistics of this, like, do his legs disappear and turn into tentacles?
Tentacles,
okay.
Yeah.
So we're working with another Poseidon type of situation here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not got a tentacle tutu.
He says it's pure magic, the three of us all tangled together like this. I'm so blissed out, I don't even know what's me and what's them anymore. We're one big writhing ball of pleasure. And I kind of was thinking the same thing. Like, I'm not sure where all of the pieces are, but it's
yeah.
written so well that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Your brain's not getting stuck on, wait, that doesn't belong there,
mm-hmm.
or how is this working? Like, it truly just establishes this is how the pleasure is happening, and then, like, you're in. You're just so in.
And it's just, like, tentacles. That's just how it works.
The answer, yeah, the answer is to how is this all working is
tentacles.
Yeah. So, everybody comes. It's very good for everybody. Then they end up staying in the tub until the water cools, which not what I would prefer.
No.
But they eventually do move to the bed, in which case Barney wraps Marcy's limbs up and holds her down so that Ryder can eat her out.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryder exhibits more of that dom energy because Barney asks Marcy, I think that we should let him feast on you. Is that what you want? And she nods and Ryder says, out loud, look at me and tell me what you want, sweetheart.
So then she says, I want you to eat me out. I mean, realistic, not necessarily the sexiest way. Like that.
Yeah, but like, how else are you going to say it?
I don't know. Like, lick
me. Like, I want your tongue on. No, I do not want to lick me.
No. That's what they're doing.
I know, but like, I need your mouth on me. Maybe.
Yeah, that would be better. And then he says, that's a good girl.
This one worked less for me.
So Barney's using his tentacles, covering her clit with a sucker.
We love that.
Uh-huh. Ryder is teasing her, not getting to the right spot
mm-hmm.
until she yells, damn it, Ryder, eat my fucking pussy.
Yep.
Didn't love it, but whatever.
No, it is what it is.
And then he says, yes, goddess. How did you feel about that one?
I love goddess. Goddess, princess, darling, I'm on board.
See, they got less and less as you continued on with that list for me.
I need a man to make it clear that I exist on a plane above the rest of humanity.
That's fantastic. So it says, he dives deep into my pussy with his tongue using long strokes and short strokes, alternating fast and slow. I can't predict what he's going to do next. There's no reason or rhythm. That doesn't sound like that would work for me.
Yeah, like it needs to slowly build up. It needs to like reach a logical conclusion. Otherwise, it'll just be surprising and like throw me out of the rhythm, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So before she comes, Ryder lubes up her ass and starts working her with his fingers. And then, without removing his fingers, he swings around and straddles my waist. He leans forward, and Barney and I are presented with the view of his perfectly rounded and muscular ass.
Yes.
I don't know that I love that visual because I don't think I want to be presented with an asshole to the face.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yep.
Because that's what's happening is like he straddled her and he's really just kind of backing up towards her face.
Yes.
If she was going for it for him, that's fine. Good for them. But like, I don't know.
I agree. Like he's taking control though. Mm-hmm. And the reason why he's doing this is so that she can lube up his ass.
Yes.
So that Barney can take both of them from the back. Ryder is going to fuck Marcy.
Yes.
This is why we have tentacles.
Yeah. But also, poor Barney.
True. Well,
so they get Ryder all prepped.
Mm-hmm.
Then Barney uses a tentacle in her ass before Ryder. It says, I can't tell which way is up anymore. All I know is that my pussy aches. I'm slick and dripping. I need Ryder's cock. It's like he can hear my thoughts with a deep breath. Ryder lowers his hips and settles his weight between my legs. Bouncing carefully, he rubs the blunted tip of his bulging dick up and down my soaking wet seam. Mm.
It's too much and not enough at the same time. This is what I didn't know I needed. For so long, I held back, never believing I could have either of these men. Now they're both inside me, so deep, so hard. I swear to fuck their touching places I didn't even know existed. I break open, blinding euphoria floods my heart. This is more than just physical. It's transcendent.
It's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic.
I climb and climb like Icarus toward the sun. Instead of melting, I hit it with a blinding explosion, dissolving into tiny droplets of bliss that flutter down like the snow outside.
So good.
No notes.
So good. And I feel like we don't, in a lot of the books that we read, especially a lot of the ones that we've read as of late.
Yes.
There's been less of the romance and more of just like straight erotica. This is getting us back to the romance side of things where like there's love here and there's like affection and it's like it's sweet and like it's a sweet little threesome that they're having.
It really, really is.
So they all fall asleep. And we're in Ryder's perspective. He wakes up first. They're in just a icky, sticky tangle of no more tentacles because the tentacles are gone.
They're in a pile. I don't understand how he's sleeping on Marcy's thigh. It says that his face is pillowed on Marcy's thigh. My arm is slung over Barney's chest. His leg drapes over my waist. This was the only time I was like, I don't understand.
Yeah. I can't get the logistics of where they are.
Yeah. But one thing, this is such a small thing, but I did appreciate Marcy's breasts flatten gently across her chest, and I watch them rise and fall with each breath. Like, that is what boobs do when you're lying on your back. They, like, flatten out.
Yeah.
It's so real and not in a way that makes me go, oh, this is too real for my romance.
It's not like they're flopped in either direction kind of thing. It's like it's written nicely in a way that's like, oh, okay, no, yeah, that's like that's what happens, but in a way like, that is still a is a little bit person. More attractive.
Yeah, I just really appreciated how realistic all of this was in like an eloquent way. It's just really well done.
I agree. So we get, I turn my head and kiss the supple skin of Marcy's inner thigh. She wiggles and sighs under my touch. I reach out and trace the V of Barney's waist. It points straight to his uncut cock resting between his legs. But then, so I'm like, okay, well, like they've already had sex. Why are we getting that information now? But then I remembered that they had tentacle sex before.
Yeah, we haven't seen Barney's cock before.
So that, I guess, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So then Barney fucks Marcy with his cock and Ryder fucks Barney's ass with his cock.
Yes, we take things slow and soundless. We're in perfect sync, anticipating each other's needs, lapping and loving on one another, lapping and loving on each other's bodies in turn, making sure no one goes unappeased. So that's before.
Yeah.
But again, they all seem to come at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is some wonderful group work.
Indeed. Teamwork makes the dream work.
So then I guess that must have been middle of the night sex.
Yeah.
And somehow, as only a rock star with unlimited funding can do, he managed to get the living room of the suite to be turned into a magical wonderland. There's a huge fir tree in the corner. It's wrapped with twinkling white lights, decked out with frosted rose and gold ornaments. Now, I understand he wanted to do something special, but also all of this happened in the middle of the night.
On Christmas.
On like Christmas Eve into Christmas. So there are, there's people that you're taking away from their families and making them do stupid errands like go and get a Christmas tree in the middle of the night.
Yeah. However, this is New York. They could be Jewish.
That's true.
They could be Muslim.
That's true.
They don't celebrate Christmas.
Okay.
This is just a regular overnight shift for them.
That's true.
It's New York, so surely something's open.
But it still is the whole, like, celebrity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You are correct. This is an abuse of power.
Yeah.
It's like, name something that's only hot in romance novel, but an ick in real life. And it's like, billionaires.
Yeah.
You're like, this is not okay. But we kind of love it. Still.
Like, I kind of love the Christmas magic, but at the same time, who does that kind of thing, you know?
Oh, and not only does he get people to decorate the entire suite, someone had to go out and purchase figure skates for all three of them because they have season tickets to the ice rink now.
Yes.
And keys to an apartment in New York for January. So basically, they are from LA and their home base is LA. They're supposed to be headed to London for a week for a press junket. And then Hartwell and Marcy were talking about how Barney really needed January off because it's been a long and grueling tour. And Barney decided that he was going to rent an apartment for the three of them in New York for the month of January.
Yes, he decided this in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve.
Yes, and somehow managed not only to rent an apartment for the month, but also get physical keys to the apartment before they woke up on Christmas morning.
Yes.
Like, it'd be one thing if it was like, oh, I got an Airbnb for a month, which would be something you could do digitally. Without requiring a physical key. But no, this is some Christmas millionaire magic for sure.
And also, I mean, it's been less than 24 hours that they're all together.
They've known each other for four to six years.
Yes, that's fine. But also, even me, who likes to jump in far too quickly, this is
they're
fast.
Not really moving in together. It's a month. In like a rental. Like, it's like practically a vacation.
Yeah.
It's not the same is all I'm saying.
Okay.
It's a good test run to see if they can live together.
But no, it's not a good test run because it would be a good test run for this relationship if they explored the relationship first. It is not a good test run when you are like living together right off the bat.
Yes. In real life, in real life, that would be true. However, in the world that we've constructed here, they already spend all of their time together.
I suppose.
Early mornings and late nights. They are in changing rooms and bathrooms and hotel rooms together. Like this, there is not much else that they could do to explore this relationship without having like a shared home base.
That's true. We also get, he says, there's nowhere I'd rather be than here. No one I'd rather be with than you two, but if you don't want to. And Ryder says, of course we want to, but we have contracts. We're all employed under the Gold Needle label and we're not allowed to fraternize with other employees. And Barney says, I know, but if Rick wants another platinum record on the wall in his office, he's going to have to figure out how to make it happen. I can either enjoy an inspiring relationship that will benefit the whole label, or I can let my fans know I'm leaving because I'm not allowed to love who I love. I think it'll be a pretty easy business decision.
Get wrecked. It's so good. So we end with an epilogue that is just the next day, which is funny. And Marcy is once again on the phone with her mom, which is a good narrative little bookend.
Yep. Nice way to end things.
Yep. And says, we're going to London for a week and then I'll be spending January in New York. Barney wants to stay here for his month off. And Barney leans in while she's on the phone and says, will you bring us some cookies, Mrs. Collins? And then Barney wanders off and her mom goes on a tangent. And then she starts to hear the first strains of piano music drift across the lobby. And she says, Mom, I gotta go. Ryder and Barney have both vanished. Then I hear a clear, sweet voice. And Barney is singing Holly Jolly Christmas. They all start singing together, and by the end of the song, the entire lobby is belting out the words together. It's just like a Hallmark movie musical. Completely ridiculous, incredible, and so fun. And Rick Hartwell appears at Marcy's side and says, think we could talk him into doing a holiday album? And she's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we could make that happen.
It was good.
The end. How would you rate this one?
I think this one's a 5 for me. I loved it. It was sweet. It had the spice, but it was also sweet. I haven't had a 5 in a while. I liked this
one. That's true.
What about you?
I'm also out of 5.
Nice.
It was so
good.
This
has never happened.
Never before have we both.
We're both a 5 and Elle liked Good Girl. It's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle. Yeah, no, I loved this one. I thought the writing was good. I thought the spice was good. The sweetness was there.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It was a good one.
I'm so impressed.
So, who did you cast? So, for Marcy,
ooh.
I went with Anna Lynn McCord.
Okay.
Who, she was really popular with, like, 90210 fame, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she's got super, super curly hair.
Yeah.
Which that was kind of what did it for me with her.
Yeah.
Which, while I was looking, I realized that she has been diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder. So she's what formerly known as like multiple personality disorder, which is interesting for somebody in Hollywood, which I feel like is something that you don't see often.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, Barney.
I am so shocked. This is my shocked face.
So originally when I was reading this, I cast Justin Bieber as Barney.
Mm-hmm.
Because
this is better.
So I changed it. And as I said before, if Harry Styles beckoned me with a set of tentacles, I would come running. So yes, Harry Styles is my Barney cast. That man just can do no wrong. It's all. And I'm just going to say again that, you know, these types of books give me false hope that someday Harry Styles might love me. And then for Ryder.
Oh, my God.
I went with Michael B. Jordan.
Absolutely.
That
fantastic
man,
pick.
Yeah. Like, and the picture that I picked.
He's so broad.
The shoulders and the biceps. Like, yeah. So, yeah, Michael B. Jordan. And I feel like Michael B. Jordan could take charge. So.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Michael B. Jordan could say good girl and I'd be on board with it.
That's fantastic.
Incredible. Incredible picks.
Thank you.
So, what are we reading next week?
So, next week we are going to read The Naughty List by Ellie Mae McGregor. Looks like we're going to get some Santa Silver Fox action there.
Yes.
I'm excited.
The cover says Santa comes more than once this Christmas.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So, I think it's going to be a good one.
Well, if you've made it this far, as always, we appreciate you. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, leave us some reviews, tell your friends. And with that,
we're at our wit's end.
See you next time.
Was that as good for you as it was for me? You have been listening to the What in the Smut Podcast with Al.